Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll get to D'Amico Ryan's press conference yesterday. He had a lot to say about the offensive line play on Sunday and moving forward. We'll get to that. Probably the biggest concern right now, maybe for me in Houston sports, is this Yordan Alvarez knee injury, whatever it is. Not a ton of clarity on what it is. It sounds like it's a knee sprain, but as far as how long he's going to be out for, he suffered it sliding into second base over the weekend. Here are two Joe Espotica. By the way, the Astros lose 6-1 to the Mariners last night, so we're still waiting. Champagne is still on ice. We have not gotten a division championship celebration yet.
The Calebs let us down last night.
Two Calebs.
Caleb with a C and Caleb with a K. Caleb Ferguson and Caleb Ort just came in and destroyed all of Hunter Brown's good work. After six innings of one-run baseball, they just decided to make everything more dramatic as we go down the stretch here.
Yeah, yes. That's the thing I'm least worried about. Like, we got Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez and Yusei Kikuchi. We're ready to go starting pitching-wise. As far as Yordan goes, because I think they're going to clinch the division at some point. Framber's going tonight, so hopefully tonight is the night that they clinch this thing. And then you can start to get things set up for what looks to be a wild card round, because I don't think they're catching the Guardians. Here's Joe Espada before the game. Yordan Alvarez was going in at 3 o'clock today, yesterday, to get an MRI. And so here was Joe Espada talking right around that time to the media yesterday.
So, you know what? He's actually right now getting more tests done. He's got an MRI start at 3 o'clock, so we should be getting some more results here in the next hour. Yesterday we, got some x-rays and there was some inflammation in the area. So we want to make sure that we go in there and we check all the boxes. So he's getting some extra testing done right now. I spoke with him this morning and, he woke up pretty sore. I was expecting him to, praying that he felt better, but that wasn't the case. So, we'll see once we get these results, once he walks in here.
All right, that was before the game. Now, here after the MRI at 3 o'clock yesterday, here was Joe Espada after the game last night with an 8-second update on Yordan Alvarez.
Right knee sprained.
And what is his prognosis for the remainder of the regular season?
He will not be available for this series.
Okay, so not available for the Mariners series. So if they're going to clinch the division, they're going to do it without their best offensive player, Yordan Alvarez.
This is already turning into something that it feels like much more than just a simple contusion, right? Either a bone, bruise, or something like that. Is the Astros will try to figure out from their Soviet-produced 40-year-old MRI machine that they have what was the name of the car back in the Soviet Union? Was it the Gaz or something like that? They don't know what they're doing. So this could be a week. This could be 3 years. We have no clue at this point.
I just look at who the player is. Okay, yeah. This is why I'm not going to beat a dead horse. This is why I get nervous anytime Yordan Alvarez gets involved in any kind of hard contact with a wall, with a base, with the ground, with another player. This is why I say things about Yordan that sound a little silly, because his tolerance for hard contact and injury is a little silly. I will point out that in 2022, the year they won the World Series, he missed several games down the stretch because of a hand injury. Mm-hmm. He missed a bunch of games last year with an oblique injury, a bunch of games. He only played like 115 games in 2023. Because a lot of them he missed because of an oblique injury. He had a mysterious neck injury that kept him out for a 4-game or 5-game stretch earlier this year. Remember, like, oh, yeah, Yordan. And he's in the dugout, and he's just hanging out in there, and he's laughing. But he's got a neck injury. Neck.
I always used to say I'm glad that they didn't play American football in Cuba, because then the Astros, I used to think, Yordan would have been a hell of a tight end or outside linebacker or something.
Dude.
No, he would have been like Lonnie Ballantyne. It would have been like this guy that you knew had great potential, but he was injured all the time. Remember Lonnie Ballantyne?
I do.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah,
we'd
back
see
in
him in camp and you'd be like, man, this guy is talented. Guy. Whoa,
Ballantyne.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But he was just always injured.
Yeah.
By the way, though, I don't know. I never know whether you're exaggerating or not.
What's that?
Because when you say that Yordan should only have base hits or home runs, Like, what was he supposed to do in that double? He should have slid in that situation.
No, he shouldn't have. There was nobody. There was nobody standing next to the base.
But the ball was coming in. There's a chance he could have gotten tagged as the ball was.
I got to go back and watch. I got to go back and watch. The guy wasn't even on the base preparing to catch the ball.
Right, but he caught it like as Jordan was going by him. He couldn't
For a normal player, then sliding is no problem. Jordan. The reason I say these things is because Jordan is different. He's different. He clearly has a lower tolerance. His body has a lower tolerance for that type of stuff. So am I being tongue-in-cheek when I say he should just get singles and home runs? Sure. Am I being tongue-in-cheek when I say he shouldn't slide into second base on plays like that where there's really like a 10% chance of you getting tagged out? I'm dead serious about that.
I would say at third base when Gary Pettis can give him the slide or no slide, maybe Gary Pettis should be, obviously very, very careful about it.
Yes.
Second base, it's all up to Jordan's judgment. And I don't know if I want him making any more judgment than he already is or is not necessarily. And whether he could just as easily get injured by trying not to slide as by sliding.
That's fair. I think he gets injured doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to accept that. All right, man. This is just who he is. Look, it was smart for him to sign the extension he did, and it was smart for the Astros to give him that extension because his injuries are always going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Because it's not even, he doesn't seem like one of these guys that needs to switch up his regimen or anything. I think he's just built that way.
Yeah.
That his injuries are always going to be an issue.
Yeah. That's history is on my side in how I feel about this. Like, he's suffered a lot of injuries that seem like petty. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's a hand. It's an oblique. Oh, it's an oblique. He's out 3 months. You know? Like,
I think,
and it's not even an insult to Jordan. Some people are just built a little differently, but you're absolutely right. If he had tried football, he'd have been out after the first week. I'm going to get back to baseball.
It's a bad look for Cuba.
It is. It is.
I'm going to stop being so pro Cuba all the time. Take down all my Castro posters, everything. Yep. My God. Whatever that shirt, what was the shirt Colin Kaepernick wore? I bought like 10 of those things. Wear them all the time.
Take them to Goodwill.
Going to various rallies and whatnot. No more. Nope. It's made me rethink this whole communism thing.
Someone said, I love how Pendergast is yelling and Seth is the calm one during this segment. It's because I'm dead serious about Jordan and all the, the plays that are injury-inducing with him. Let's get to D'Amico.
I take that as an extreme insult. That somebody's like, wait a second, extremely irrational, hyperbolic take? That sounds like a Seth thing. Okay.
Let's get to D'Amico Ryans. This is D'Amico Ryans yesterday, a little Q&A with the media on the slew of formation penalties that they had on Sunday.
With the penalties of lining up, right, we have to be better. We have to align right. It's clear with the rules of how we should line up, so we have to line up correctly, and that starts with us.
The different penalties and the illegal formation penalty that you all have occurred, as well as some of the leaks in allowing pressure to get to Cedar's Ground.
Yeah, we go to the drawing board and we fix it. We have to line up right, which I know we can do. We have to line up right, and we have to protect as best we can up front. There's five guys just working together. Or if it's six, we have six guys in particular. We all have to work well together, and we have to play relentless. We have to swarm up front, and we have to get the guys blocked.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how much progress they can make when, honestly, your alpha in that room is Laremy Tunsil. And there's just so many examples of Laremy Tunsil when he allows guys to make tackles based off of nothing but sheer laziness at times. When he's on the backside of a play, he does the bare minimum. And sometimes the guy, he doesn't even attempt to block a guy that ends up making the tackle on the cutback lane or something. This is in the run game. And So what do they do? What do they do in meetings? I mean, do they hold him accountable for that? What kind of example is being set for the younger guys when the highest paid guy on the team doesn't practice, just doesn't care? He plays in such a way that it looks like he doesn't care. And you're telling the young guys, like, hey, no, You've got to play your ass off and know your responsibilities and assignments and actually give a damn. We'll let Laramie sit out for the next couple days. And don't worry. We'll probably. Ooh, got to be careful what you say to Laramie. Ooh, don't correct Laramie too harshly.
Those players you're talking about elected him captain.
Exactly. Exactly.
They elected him captain.
Exactly, because they don't know any better, man.
Right,
they
right.
just don't know any better.
So,
and that's a problem.
So these questions kept getting asked yesterday to D'Amico about the formation penalties and correcting them, and D'Amico's just going to give generic answers about correcting. We need to correct it. We need to do it better. Blah blah blah. I'll give credit to John McClain. He finally invoked Laramie Tunsil by name in a question,
yeah.
And here was John asking about Laramie Tunsil.
You have to practice with Laramie out of here. Practice him lining up, or is he just supposed to know where he lines up?
Yeah, we know where the line. He knows where to align, and we just have to do a better job of getting it done.
Okay, John tried.
Titus's alignment where wasn't nearly as egregious. I could see where Titus might have been frustrated in his penalty. I mean, Laramie was out there in outer space on at least one of the ones that they called on him, and then just not checking with the officials in general and having communications with them. That should be your standard operating procedure here.
Is that the coaching point here? Is that something you can at least bring up in a meeting? Like, hey,
yeah, that's every play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because this crew, the lead official, Clint Bleakman there, that was the same crew as on the opening game of the season where they were hyper-vigilant about
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's something, and I'll put that on D'Amico, too. Like, that's something you got to be aware of going into this game, that this is a crew that you want to be sure that you're talking to them, that you're checking, you know, you're checking with the official as you're lining up, all of that. And the Texans seem to have been completely caught by surprise by it. It's just simply... There's no excuse for it. There's just no excuse for it. Maybe in week one there's an excuse for it. There's no excuse for after the third game in the season, the offensive line talking after the game like, golly, did you see what they're doing now with the illegal formations?
They took it. The problem was that the offensive line, Laramie Tunsil in particular, took it next level and made it seem like they were being singled out for it. They're making
Tunsil.
Us an example here.
The guy who's been penalized more for false starts than anybody else in the last several seasons somehow thinks that the issue is that they're being targeted.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're watching you, Laramie. You know why? Because you're really, really bad at this. You're one of the you're the league's worst at not getting flagged. You're absolutely horrendous at it. And you show no actual commitment to the run game whatsoever. It's really bad, man. I, you know what? All the listeners who would say that you and I haven't been harsh enough about this are 100% correct. You're right. I've been a way too lenient with D'Amico and Nick Caserio, and it's trying to establish this swarm mentality that you're allowing this cancer to exist on your team. You know what you're doing? You're somebody that's completely foregoing any kind of advice from your doctors on cancer treatment and saying that, and instead calling a psychic up on a 1-900 line. You're like, no, I'm going to let Lady Cleo handle this one. We won't worry about the cancer because we've got Lady Cleo on our side.
Hey, can I read you a quote? I'll let you guess who this quote is from. Laramie, he's played very well, but he's had too many penalties. He would be the first one to tell you that. We've got to try to fix it. We've got to continue to try to help him fix it. I think nobody feels worse about that than him. He's a great guy. He's a great player, but we've got to fix that. End quote.
Yeah. I have to credit Paul Gallant on that quote because he went back and dug up the Bill O'Brien quote.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Paul went back and found the... the quote on how bad Laramie's penalties have been back in what year was that? 2018?
It was December 8th, 2019. I just Googled while you were talking. I Googled 2019 Tunsil false starts just to validate that this is something that's been going on a while. And this is the article that came up December 8th.
Oh, okay, I sent that to you late last night.
You did?
When,
okay, I may have been
you
in bed.
Didn't see it yet.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I saw. I just Googled it now, and it says Texans coach, the headline, Texans coach Bill O'Brien, we have to fix Laremy Tunsil's penalties.
Yeah. It's
when Paul Wayne got that?
I went, you know what? I went and I just did like a 15-minute live stream on my YouTube channel after the show, and it's funny because, you know, people, like non-Texans fans that watch that video were like really PO'd about, A, the Vikings fans were upset that I wasn't acknowledging the Vikings and their greatness. Like, all right, well, that's not going to happen. But people were like, why are you fixated on this? Like, obviously, there was other stuff that went on in the game. Texans fans were like almost unanimous, like, hell yes, that's what you should be talking about. This yeah. is, you don't understand if you're not from Houston, the misery that we've had the entire time Laremy Tunsil has been here with how sloppy and inattentive to detail he is yep. when it comes to penalties. And it all came back to roost, man. It all came back to roost. If you want to be a great team, you've got it. You've got one of the highest paid guys on your team just flat out does not care. Does not care.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We'll get to the Texans. D'Amico Ryans on bouncing back from a big loss. The Astros last night, they'll get another crack at trying to clinch the division. Tonight, after losing last night, we'll get to that. Monday Night Football, doubleheader, some injury news around the NFL. Got a lot to get to in headlines coming up next.